it's a sin. I wanna know about being born again. I need you. Oh Lord, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under baptized. I need you. Oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet.
I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change.
I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. Yeah.
Lord and Heavenly Father, as a Rise Up congregation, we want to say thank you so very much for bringing us together every morning, feeling that holy water on our skin, seeing the milk and honey with gold streets every morning when I wake up. I want to thank you for that, Lord. I want to thank you for Water Cop and Moose for Trump. I want to thank you for Jeff Richardson. I want to thank you for Purple Snowflake and Patty. I want to thank you for River Rat coming back again, Christielle, Bigfoot, everybody. I want you to think of what really matters today. I want to think of the sins that you're not letting go of, that you need to sever today. Because it's the start of a new day for so many. Come on, Holy Spirit, we need you today. We need you today, Holy Spirit, to help us rise up. Help us rise up above what the world is trying to do. Help us rise up above the fact that they're trying to eradicate your name. Help us rise up above the depression and the anxiety and the loneliness and the sadness and the hatred. Help us rise up above to see things as you want us to see things. In Jesus' name we pray. Wow, what an amazing song this morning. Holy water on my skin. Your forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, by We the Kingdom and Tasha Cobbs Leonard. Wow, good morning. It's been a long time, hasn't it, since we got to play that song. I think I've played that song in 329 episodes. That was the third time, I believe, that I've played that song. Now, I don't know. Maybe somebody out there wants to fact check me and go back and watch 328 prior episodes. But I believe that's the third time we played that song. And I could play it three more times and it would never get old. Your Forgiveness, Holy Water by We the Kingdom. And of course, Tasha Cobbs Leonard was joining in with them for that church session. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful job by those folks. And it's actually that video shot in that church is what made me want to do the Armor of God video in a church. There's just something about being inside a holy place where people congregate and have fellowship. There's just something about being there that you can't replicate, you know? And that song, let me tell you, that the way they did that, that rendition of that, and I remember in our worship group at church, I actually got to do that song. We actually got to play that song. And it was one of my, it's probably my favorite memory of being in the worship group was that song. So, you know, that song is really special to me. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. So today on this April 4th, year of our Lord, 2024, at 10 after 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. on the West Coast, I want to welcome you and say today's title for today's show. Actually, I just notice, looks to be misspelled. So I'm going to go there now, and I'm going to fix that. But it is titled, 30 Pieces of Silver. 30 Pieces of Silver. Now, I saw in the chat that somebody said that every year at church, they do this 30 pieces of silver, you know, kind of giving it back and not accepting that corruption. Well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Your 30 pieces of silver. It's good to see Bad Moon back in here. Thank you very much, Bad Moon. Wow, that's amazing. Love the Armor of God song and the video. Thank you very much. So do I. One of the most amazing achievements I think that I've ever been a part of. It was getting that song and that video recorded and put out. And definitely my favorite project I've ever been involved in. I want you guys to open up your Bibles today. Again, I didn't get a newsletter out this morning because we got a ton of snow here. And, of course, I had to be up early trying to shovel and get things ready for me to come to work. Eli, I told Eli, go ahead and stay home today. So Eli is producing what he can, working from his office at home. So, you know, sometimes it's a little nice to be able to, I'm sure he's enjoying working alone and I'm enjoying working alone today. Put on some nice Christian gospel music in the background throughout the day. Listen to that in quiet. Sometimes I think we need that. So thank you, Lord, for the snow, right? Jeremy, when does your mom start treatment? In about 10 days, I think. In about 10 days, I believe. Sounds like New England. Sure is. Snow in the spring. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, right? Yeah, I guess you could say that. He sure was. Now, I want you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59, okay? Wow. Steelers 6 says, I don't have a Bible. Well, Steelers, you can go to jeremyharrell.com and you can sign up for a free Bible. We're way behind, but actually today being one of those days where I'm kind of snowed in and I'm going to stay at the studio all day, I'm actually going to be forwarding all those free request Bibles over the last couple months to my daughter who does that, and she's going to get those right out. You get a free Bible right there. But until that time comes, you can always download a Bible app on your phone or on your computer, or look up just Isaiah 59 anywhere, and it'll come up on a search engine. Sunny day in Florida. Yeah, I definitely would enjoy that if we had that, a sunny day. But I want to talk a little bit. I want to go to prayer. As you guys are opening up your Bibles to Isaiah 59, I want to go to prayer. But then I want to talk a little bit about that 30 pieces of silver, okay? Grammy says, Jeremy, God told me to tell you that I love you, and so does he. You are my all-time news person. Oh, well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Shishu says, my mom is suffering so much. My heart aches for her. Prayers is our only hope. Prayer is our only hope. It definitely is. It definitely is all of our only hope. And I am so sorry for your mom that she's suffering. I know what that feeling of watching somebody like your mom suffer, and I'm so sorry to hear that. Jeremy, how are your two oldest daughters doing? Better than ever. Maybe, or at least as far as I can tell, better than ever. We've simplified their lives, put God back in their lives, and it's going better than ever, at least as of right now. So I want to thank you for that. I appreciate that. All right, as we have 1,300 people watching right now, I'll ask you guys to make sure that you are signed in. Make sure that you've clicked that thumbs up button. Make sure you shared the video. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And then I want to talk a little bit about 30 pieces of silver and how it corrupts you, okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I gotta say, Father, my level of joy lately and my level of peace of heart and mind and body and soul only comes from you. Nothing in the world that I can think of is giving me this peace and this joy that I have in my body. Some would say that arguably this is the time that we should be the least joyful for. But I know different. I know that you tell us to find joy in all things, and that all good things come from you. Lord, today I want to talk about 30 pieces of silver and how every one of us has accepted that money. Every one of us has accepted that corruption. Every one of us has accepted that sin. I want to talk about that today, Lord, and I hope that you can use me through the Holy Spirit to convey your message to those who need to hear it today. We thank you for this fellowship, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thou shalt not fear, says Shane. You are correct, my friend. Now, before we start talking about the 30 pieces of silver, you cannot talk about 30 pieces of silver without talking about Judas. Amen? Now, let's look at Judas. Judas loved Jesus. Jesus loved Judas as much as he loves you. Jesus taught Judas. Jesus walked with Judas. Jesus ate with Judas. He blessed Judas. He loves and loved Judas. Without Judas, there is no Christianity. Without Judas, Jesus is not portrayed. or betrayed, excuse me. Without Judas, Jesus doesn't fulfill prophecy. And without Judas, we are not saved. When I used to watch The Passion of the Christ, or when I first became a Christian, I hated Judas. This is before I cleansed hate from my heart. I remember watching Judas hang himself on The Passion of Christ and other portrayals of Jesus and the crucifixion. And I remember going, good, you deserve it, you rat, you trash, you betrayer. But as the years have gone on, and as my journey with Jesus has gone further, I started to feel sorry for Judas. And then I started to love Judas. Now, it almost brings tears to my eyes thinking about it. Now when I watch that movie or see any kind of portrayals of Judas or an actor, you know, acting in that role, I cry when Judas dies. And here's another thing too that I thought about. I'd be willing to bet that Judas repented before he died, and I'd be willing to bet that Judas is with Jesus today. Ann says, stop twisting scripture. Listen to David Wilkerson on YouTube. Are you saying that I am twisting scripture? Or are you just saying in general, stop twisting scripture and listen to so-and-so on YouTube? I don't know who that is, but I definitely will. Steelers 6 says, what did Judas do? Judas betrayed Jesus to the Pharisees and to the Roman guards for 30 pieces of silver and took them to Jesus where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and arrested Jesus and had him brought in front of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, and then ultimately Pontius Pilate. So I'm sitting here thinking about this. And again, I would say that I would bet that Judas is with Jesus today. And I started, and the only reason that makes me say that is not only because of how much Judas or Jesus loved Judas and how much Judas loved Jesus, but there's two reasons that make me think that Judas is with Jesus today. And one of those reasons is that Judas repented when he threw the bag of silver, the 30 pieces of silver, back at the Pharisees, saying, I made a mistake, I was corrupted, I was taken over by demonic forces, take this money, I don't want it back, I don't want your dirty money, I am sorry for what I've done, I'm repenting. The act of throwing the bag back at the feet of the Pharisees was Judas repenting. Now, let me ask you this. If Judas repented and threw back the 30 pieces of silver and could not live with his grief and was so taken over by his grief, he took his own life, why wouldn't Jesus have forgiven Judas the way that he forgave the thief on the cross? Jennifer said Judas had free will. He didn't have to do what he did. No, he didn't. But there's a lot of scholars who will tell you that Judas was like a light switch. Judas was part of the story. Judas was used. Judas was taken over by demonic forces. So, as we don't know for sure, because the Bible doesn't tell us, we don't know where Judas is today. We don't know if Judas is burning in hell. We don't know if Judas is with Jesus. We don't know if Jesus is with God. We don't know. But I will say without Judas, we aren't saved. And I will say that Judas repented. And I will say that the second reason that I think that Jesus and Judas are together today is this right here. Remember the conversations, the very, very difficult and tough conversations that we had about suicide? And do you remember when I made that incredible mistake of thinking that people that commit suicide are automatically destined for hell? But then, as the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you have no idea what those people did. You have no idea what those people did with Christ before they died. You have no idea what Jesus said to them the minute before they died. You have no idea if they were saved the second before they died. Now, I see a lot of people in here saying that they disagree with me, and that's okay. But you tell me if throwing back the pieces of silver and not being able to live with your grief of what you've done, if that's not repentance to God. By the way, there was no going through Christ to get to God at that moment. That's not what everybody knew. So if you don't think that throwing back the silver is a sign of repentance, I mean, now let's talk about your 30 pieces of silver. Okay? Now let's talk about your 30 pieces of silver, Ann, Mustache, Eli, me. Because it's really easy to sit here and say, I don't see that as a sign of repentance while you're still holding on to your bag of 30 pieces of silver. CQ says, I don't think he repented. I do believe Jesus would forgive, but I have a hard time believing that it happened. Okay, my question to you is, where is your evidence, proof, or words from Jesus that it didn't? Because what I'm sitting here saying, Army Dog says that's guilt, not repentance. Okay, Army Dog, have you thrown back your pieces of silver yet in order for you to make that determination? See, I can back up that I believe that Jesus is with Judas today for the reasons that I just said. One, the act of being sorry for something and wishing he didn't do it. Guilt leads to repentance, right? Not conviction leads to repentance. So if conviction leads to repentance, then how can you say that the conviction of throwing back the 30 pieces of silver, how can you say that that is not going to lead to salvation, going to lead to repentance? You don't know that. And again, my question is, have you thrown back your pieces of silver yet to be in a position to say, I don't believe that Judas is with Jesus? Because again, without Judas, there's no Jesus. Not as we know it today. L.M. Burkowski, I believe what you say as well. The Living Water Bible with Ray Comfort comments, there's a section that addresses if suicide means you can't be saved. You never know what they did just before they died. That's you know what? I didn't even know that that Living Waters thing existed, and I'm of that same belief. No evidence, but it's not in the Bible that he repented. CQ, it's not? The act of the conviction and throwing back the silver, that's not an act of repentance? I believe it is. See, Geringer says, guilt doesn't always lead to repentance. Sometimes people are just sorry they got caught. Yeah, sure they are. But would the guilt then eat them alive and make it so that they didn't even live anymore when they're sorry they got caught? You'd have to have a change of heart. You'd have to have a moral compass to feel that guilty, I would think. I'm just speculating here. So now let's talk about your 30 pieces of silver. Because do you want to know that your 30 pieces of silver represent the sin that you won't throw away? Think about that. Your 30 pieces of silver represent the sin that you won't throw away. Rosebud said, why would Jesus say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and leave Jesus out of that? Boom! You are walking with the Holy Spirit today. But he wasn't caught the way he did. It was repentant. I agree. He killed himself. He did repent. That's the ultimate repentance. Wow, what a statement that is. I hate money. Amen. I'll ask Moses when I get to heaven. Jesus knew he was going to betray him. Yeah, he told him at the Last Supper. I don't believe once saved, always saved, said S. Marvel. Hope Up says, personally, I don't believe he would have thrown the money back if he wasn't wrecked with guilt and repentance. He would have gone on his merry way. Amen. Amen. That's a great, great statement. Exactly. And that's what I feel as well. 100%. The sin that you refuse to forsake and the sin that you refuse to throw is your 30 pieces of silver. So what is that sin today? What does it look like? I'm going to go ahead right now and read for you today's verses. And we're going to go to Isaiah 59, verse 2 and 3. Lifelike says, I'm so glad you brought this up about Judas. I brought this same point to my pastor when I was 15, and he was taken aback, but I never did get a reply on this topic, because if Judas didn't betray Christ... Exactly. Exactly. But do you want to know what really made me talk about Judas today? Was how I felt when I watched The Passion of Christ on Saturday. When I watched The Passion of Christ on Saturday, I felt so much shame, pity, sorrow, love towards Judas than I've ever felt in my life, and I didn't even know why. But I do know that I'm walking with the Holy Spirit every day of my life, from the minute I wake up until the minute I go to bed, even when I sin against him. And I do know that the Holy Spirit is revealing things to me on my journey with Jesus that I was never, ever, ever able to be revealed before, because I wouldn't have understood. I didn't know. Now I know. And when the Holy Spirit helped me feel that way about Judas, I started to think about it in a different way. Army Dodd said, Jesus did not repent. Peter did. Okay. Okay. 59:2, Isaiah. Rather, it is your own crimes that separate you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't hear. For your hands are stained with blood and your fingers with crime. Your lips speak lies. Your tongues utter wicked things. Now, here's the part that really gets me when we're talking about Judas, people that committed suicide, etc. It is very, 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 very easy to say those people are in hell because of, right? Judas is not with Jesus. He's suffering in hell for what he did to Jesus. He didn't repent. Those people that committed suicide, they're definitely burning in hell because the Catholics said so, number one. And two, because they defiled God's temple, your body. Because it doesn't belong to you. It comes from God. But those same people that are saying that turn out to be, not all the time, but most of the time, the biggest hypocrites on planet Earth. And I know because I was one. Those people that are saying, that's that and this is that, will get off this broadcast today or go home from work, and they will hold on and clutch that 30 pieces of silver ever so tightly. This generation is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Wrong. It's not. It's not. Do you want to know why? Because if you have a holy person visit your home today, if you have a Holy Spirit, like an angel, visit your home today, guess what? You're not going to get a knock on the door in any city that you go to from a group of people saying, give us that holy person. We want to sodomize him and rape him for coming here. When that happens, then you can say that we are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. How about this? When Sodom and Gomorrah was being pleaded for to God, don't destroy them, don't destroy them, what did God say? There's not one person that is holy in that city. There is not one person that is righteous in that city. Are you telling me that there's not one righteous or holy person in our country? Are you going to sit here and say that there's not one holy or righteous person in the name of God in the city of New York? Because there was none in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not one. There you go, right there, Jay Gizme. If you can find five good people, I will spare them. We are more than five. There's 1,600 of us here to pick from. Maybe not all of us are righteous. Maybe not all of us are walking with God, but some of us are. Ann says, oh, really? David Wilkerson is wiser than you, dude. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. But I'm not claiming to know more than him at all. I'm just saying what Jesus would say. That's all. And I'm saying what the Bible says. And that we are not worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, because there are a lot more than five that are worth saving. Isis says, Jeremy, what Bible do you read from? This one right now. This one right now. I really want to start studying the Geneva Bible as well. Arthur says, I just wish I could fill his slippers. So do I. So do I. The funny thing about when people say that I'm not wiser than this person, whatever, I never claim to be, actually. I claim the opposite. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I don't know everything. I don't claim to. So since you seem to be new, Anne, this is my journey with Jesus. I'm not telling you to do anything. You probably know more than I do. Seem to. But do you know what? That's never going to do to me. It's never going to turn my smile into a frown, ever. So let's talk about the sin that you refuse to forsake, your 30 pieces of silver. I can tell you what my 30 pieces of silver are. My 30 pieces of silver is my tongue. That's what my 30 pieces of silver are. My 30 pieces of silver that I just can't seem to let go of is that I let corrupt words come out of my mouth. And not so much judgment, but like making fun of, like Democrats or even rhinos or, you know, the LGBTQ community or whatever. That is my 30 pieces of silver. Didn't Judas hang himself? That is suicide, right? Yes, he did. Judas committed suicide. Yes, he did. So I want you don't have to do it in the live chat. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. But I want you at some point today to examine yourself like we always do in front of the Ten Commandments, in front of a mirror. Look at yourself and say, what are my 30 pieces of silver that I am not willing to throw back? What is it? May I ask? Anne, what are your pieces of silver that you will not throw back? What sin do you refuse to forsake? Jeremy, by being in prison, I guarantee you've spent more time alone with Jesus than most. I know I did in the 6 years plus prison. Well, there you go. There you go. Katia says, my 30 pieces of silver is worrying about everything. LJNK says, mine too. This message is for me. I say what is on my mind and I hurt feelings. And Jesus wouldn't have done that. And I do the same. I disagree. Most of our pieces of silver is our family, houses, and cars. Throw it back then. If that's what your 30 pieces of silver is, throw it back. Big G says, vaping, but I'm trying. Eli, with the power of God, quit vaping, so I know you can too. Throw that 30 pieces back. Are we not allowed to voice our frustration? Of course we are. Of course we are. Lifelike, Anne is here for a reason. They are allowed to have opinions. I'm glad they are here regardless. So am I. I love having conversation about this stuff. It's the only way that we grow. That's why I've not said anything mean to anybody about this. This is a very, very important topic. All of us have accepted at some point in our life 30 pieces of silver that we have not thrown back yet. All of us. There's not a person in here that has received it and thrown it back. All of us still hold it a little bit. Gossiping and worrying, says Marfay. Gossip, I'm working on it. Mad Test says, mine is anxiety. That's right, do whatever you want. Shishu says, mine is my gutter mouth. Ivanister says, mine is working and forgiveness of my uncle abusing me as a child. I know you've mentioned that before. I know that must be hard to keep bringing up. Stretch says, serving my flesh and smoking. Bobby says, mine is forgiving myself. Oh yeah, that's a hard one to do as well. Cindy says, mine is what's happening in the world. I have so much hard time letting it go. I always feel God wants us to fight for our country. And we do every day. But that doesn't mean that we can't find joy in it. It doesn't mean that we can't rid ourselves of the fear and the anxiety of what's happening, because that is stuff that you can't control, right? I mean, you can only control your decision-making and your actions. That's it. I have more than 30 pieces, I think. I worry I'm rude. Yeah, I think I have more than 30 pieces as well. I do. Jay Gizmi says, after listening to this, I have more than I thought. Well, this is good. This is why we have this show. This show is for you and your journey with Jesus. And again, that's why you didn't hear me say anything rude. People have opinions. If that's what you think, that's what you think. It is okay. I seem to think that Judas threw his 30 pieces of silver back. And I want to throw mine back. I do. I don't want corrupt talk to come out of my mouth. Now, when I think of the 30 pieces of silver, there's a lot less than there was a year ago to throw back. I can tell you that. There's a lot less to throw back. So when I thought of it this morning, my first thought was my tongue. The corrupt talk that comes out of my mouth. Sometimes I forget about everything and I just spout off and say something stupid. Or I'll sing a line to an old song that comes into my mind that I shouldn't even be repeating. And it'll just come out. I'll say a swear word that I didn't even need to say. Didn't even need to happen. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I want to read from the 66 books of the Bible about Isaiah. Have you ever, in weakness, found renewed strength through the words of a parent or a spouse or a friend? The great thing about Isaiah, folks, is it is like the best friend you could ever want. I'm here for you. I'll wipe tears from your eye. I love you. What can I do for you? Is there anything that you need done? I've got your back. Don't get up. I'll do it. That's what Isaiah is. Isaiah is like the best friend that you could ever, 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 ever have. The right words at the right time restore our courage and keep us from despair. That's how we feel as we read the words of Judah's greatest preacher, the prophet Isaiah. His words overflow with pathos and passion, whether he's talking about judgment, healing, or the majesty of God. Throughout the book, there are so many references to the coming Messiah that Isaiah is sometimes called the fifth gospel. Isaiah began ministering in Judah around 740 BC. He witnessed the final years of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he warned his tiny nation of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem, of similar judgment. In the first book of chapters 1 through 39, Isaiah spoke of judgment and hope, warning that just as God used Assyria to judge Israel, he would use Babylon to judge Judah. The last part of Isaiah, chapters 40 through 66, is full of God's encouragement for the future exiles. These are some of the most comforting passages in the Bible. Isaiah's words and predictions give us never-ending strength. If you're low today, listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. We talk about that all the time. Isaiah is one of the books in the Bible that is like your best pep talk. Right? When you need to, come on, get up. You can do this. The only failure is giving up. Stand up. It's like Rocky. Isaiah is like a Rocky movie. The underdog that needs encouragement. That's what Isaiah is. Great book of the Bible. Now, there's something I want to show you here. When you let go of your 30 pieces of silver, when you finally decide, I'm done with this bag of silver, this will be your life. If it already isn't right now. There it is, folks. Does that describe you today? NFL, Pornhub, TikTok. YouTube, PlayStation, OnlyFans. You could throw Facebook in there. You could throw whatever you want. That right there is what happens when you throw back your 30 pieces of silver. And you want to know what? That's okay. I would rather be that than the people pointing any day of the week. Any day of the week. S. Marvel, was I incorrect thinking our feedback not relevant? If not, Jeremy, opinion? I didn't say anything. No. Feedback always welcome. Feedback always relevant. Especially when we're learning about God's word together. Now, live from America, that might be a different story. Opinions can turn to constant division and annoyances in the live chat. This is a different story. As long as you're not blaspheming the name of God, let it fly. We're all learning here. Look at this. H. Notario says, first time listening to this podcast. Thank you. Well, we have another person here by the name of River Rat, who is now, I believe, on their fourth or fifth episode. I think it's your fourth, though. And they've been back every day. So we pray, H. Notario, that you come back every day. We have a Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. of Rise Up every day right here. And then we go into other shows throughout the entire day on Live from America. Different opinions help us gain knowledge. Amen. Amen. So, again, I'd rather be the person in the middle than the people on the outside. Here's something else I want to show you. And I really want you to pay attention to this. I might need to put it on a different screen. Give me a second here. Let's see. I don't know if that'll work either. All right, well, this'll work. Let's pull this up here real quick. Life is short. James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is short. Death is sure. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is the cause. Life is short, death is sure, sin is the cause, and Christ is the cure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life is short, death is sure, sin is the cause, and Christ is the cure. Amen. Here's something else beautiful that I wanted to show you today. If we can find this and bring this up. Now, this is going to take about 3 minutes of your time, but this was beautiful. I found a song from a Jewish songwriter called the Hebrew Worship Battle Song. And do you know that this Hebrew Worship Battle Song is called Rise Up, Rise Up? And I thought this might be the new official song for the Morning Rise Up show. Check it out. I love it. I need my headphones on for this one. The one I am, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll have to go back and watch. But check out the song called Rise Up, this Hebrew worship battle song. It's pretty cool.
Confound righteousness. Rise up, rise up.
Adonai, rise up, Lord.
Kuma Adonai.
Kuma Adonai, Kuma Adonai. Rise up, O Lord, mighty in battle. Rise up, rise up. Absolutely awesome. I found that this morning, and I was like, wow, the Lord is speaking to us today. Rise up, rise up. Really, really cool. Kuma Adonai. Kuma Adonai. I want to learn Hebrew so bad. I'd love to learn Aramaic, actually. But, you know, I guess we'll see what God's plans are. I need this song on my playlist. It's amazing. Well, it's called Rise Up by, well, you know what? I'll just put it in the live chat. How about that? It'll be a lot easier because I can't even read that name. So I'm going to put it in the live chat right now. Also, producer Eli has put the link to the next show in the live chat as well. We have over 1,800 people watching here at the end of Rise Up. I want to encourage you to please, please, please make sure that you guys sign in and make sure you've hit that like button, okay? All right, now, as we get ready to leave, I'm going to leave you the same way I always bring you in with some good music. But I've got something to read for you on the way out, folks. So let's get to that. Defending the treasure. 2 Corinthians 4:7, defending the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us, right? Depending on where you live, this past winter, you may have joined a growing number of homeowners who have installed an insulating jacket around their home's hot water heater, especially if the unit is located in a garage, attic, or crawl space. The goal is to help the water fend off the relentless freezing cold air. The more the water is protected, the less energy the heater must use to keep the water hot. There is something more important that we have to protect, the gospel of the grace of God. This is the treasure Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 4:7. Amazingly, God deposited his treasure in us, fragile earthen vessels that are subject to the relentless ways of the world and the attacks from the devil, like Judas. But Paul says the treasure is protected so that the life of Jesus also may be maintained in our mortal flesh. Whenever you are feeling the pressure of this life, remember that if you are God's child by faith in Christ, God is committed to protecting the treasure that he has deposited in you. A sovereign protector I have, and walls of salvation surround the soul that he delights to defend. And that's you, folks. That's you. Are you willing to be a noble ditch digger or watchman? Don't know what that means, Anne, but we love you, and we hope you come back tomorrow. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Rise Up today. You've got Mike Crispy and Unafraid coming up next, and you've got the rest of this beautiful song to listen to on your way out. Remember, everybody, put God first. Kuma Adonai. Rise up, O Lord. Kuma Adonai. I love you guys. God bless you, and I'll see you at 11. For 2 hours of Live from America. Mike Crispy comes up next. Enjoy the rest of the song on your way out. Have a great morning. See you later, folks. Thank you.